of God's word. Turn to your Bible to the 27th division of Psalms. I'm going to shine the spotlight on verses 1 through 6. We're going to hang out in verse 13. Psalms 27. Let us pray. O Lord our God, how excellent is your name in all the earth.
Yes,
Father God, it's once again another time that we stand up to proclaim and teach and preach your word.
Yes,
Father God, we aren't able to do this by ourselves, so we ask that you allow your Holy Spirit to come on in and exhibit his perfect teaching and preaching ministry right now.
Right now.
In the name of Jesus. Father God, you know what we need and when we need it.
Yes.
But Father God, we need the word from you.
Yes.
And without a word from you, Father God, what would we do?
Yes.
Father God, right now, someone is going through something. Someone needs direction. Someone needs encouragement.
Yes.
Someone needs restoration. Someone needs comfort to know that you'll never leave them nor forsake them.
Yes.
So Father God, we don't know how you're going to do it, but we ask you for a rhema word.
Yes.
Tailor-made, fit for our circumstance and our situation at this present time. We ask, oh, Father God, that you make your word plain enough so that a child can understand it.
Yes,
draw
Jesus.
Back the draperies of misunderstanding
yes.
through your word, Father God.
Yes.
Father God, bind Satan now as he goes to and fro, trying to snatch the word of knowledge away from your people.
Yes.
Father God, right now, give us a good time in your word.
Yes.
Father God, let your word rest upon thy servant, oh, Father God.
Yes.
Father, use me in spite of me. Hide me behind the cross. And whatever's accomplished in this setting, oh Father God, we will be thankful and we will be careful to give you the honor, the praise, and the glory.
Yes.
Speak, Lord, for your people. Hear it.
Amen.
Psalms 27, beginning at the first verse. The Lord is my life and my salvation. Whom shall I fear?
Yes.
The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. The host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fail. The war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble, listen to me, church, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Verse 13. I had fainted. I would have fainted, David said, unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I want to put a tag on this text, and just for a short while to preach and teach it to your hearing. This could have went down another way. You may take your seats in the presence of the Lord. This could have went down
another way.
Blood, if the truth be told. Hey, Asha, you may take your seat. Thank you, dear. Blood, if the truth be told, even though we live in one of the most affluent regions of the world, there's a new face to poverty and homelessness.
Yes, yes.
It is not always the crack addict or the drunk that you think, but well-to-do families are finding themselves in deep economic restraints. The reality is that most working families are 2 to 3 incidences away from being homeless.
Yes. Yes.
2 to 3 tragedies, unexpected problems knock on your door, and you will find yourself the new face of homelessness.
My God, my God.
There's assimilation, a scenario that helps us understand how many people are very close to the edge of losing everything. Here's the demonstration. You put two pegs up. Now put a string up for every support system you have. If you have a retirement fund, put a string across through the peg. If you have living parents that you can call on in emergency circumstances, put a string across. If you got friends that will loan you money when you call, put a string across. If you are in good health, put a string across. If you own a home, put a string across, you can drink. You keep putting strings across as you name your support systems.
Well.
Then put a stick, on those strings. The stick represents your life that is supported by these strings of support.
Right.
Now I can give you a hypothetical possible scenario and situation that can cause your strings to be cut. Y'all with me?
Yes.
The stick represents your life and everything that's supported by those strings. Here we go. Sequestration, string cut. Accident, child addiction, somebody being arrested, string cut. As the string is being cut, you will notice very quickly the stick falls. Because that is how quickly life can bottom out on you. When you don't have the support you thought you can count on. As you grow through those hypothetical scenarios that cuts the strings, everyone around me, check me out. We went through it. I was in a group of people. We did this thing, Deacon Jerry. Their sticks had fallen. All of my strings, when they cut all those things, financially, what they think for me, all of my strings were still balanced on one stick. I was asked what string was still left, because we cut finances, we cut friends, your health is gone, you got laid off the job, why is your stick still balanced? I said, because I got one string, Sister Thomas, you can't cut. And that is my faith in God. That is, no matter what happens financially to me, Margo, with so many so-called friends, my life, I have a string of support that can't be cut because I believe in God. The reason my string had not fallen is that it was properly balanced on one string of faith. If your life is centered in faith in God, it does not matter what strings have been cut. You will find that you can still make it, because faith has a way of keeping you balanced when the world and hell breaks loose in your life. When you walk and live by the belief that God is able, faith has a strange way of holding your life together when everything else is falling apart. I'm not talking about what I read, I'm telling you what I know. It is that holding and keeping power of faith that seemingly undergirds the lyrics of this song that we read as a psalm in Psalms 27. Here David begins to express that he knows what it's like to have strings cut. He says, I've had some real enemies in my life. Folk who wanted to hurt me and do me harm. False witnesses began to rise against me. People were lying on me and running their mouths about stuff they knew nothing about.
My God.
In the midst of all that, I thought that family can't forsake you. Mama and daddy will not always be there for you.
Yes, yes.
Friends cannot be found sometimes. Yes. I had some trouble that almost took me out. My strings were being cut. Life was getting worse on me. Things were not going the way I thought. The redeemed of the Lord ought to have them know.
Amen.
And to make it worse, I read the Bible. I am the anointed of God. I'm God's servant. I'm a man after God's own heart. But yet, my strings were being cut. And my life was put in jeopardy. David said, here's what I found out. I would have lost heart had I not believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Watch what David says, Sister Thomas. If I did not have faith in God, this thing would have gone down another way. If I did not believe there was God who sat on the throne of heaven and kept my story, my story would have been dramatically different ending. If I did not have faith that held me, my faith made the difference how my story ended, y'all. I come by to declare to you today that faith makes the difference on how your story of your life will go down. Help your child teach you, Holy Ghost.
Yes.
David declares, I had some faith in God that kept me balanced when everything else was going wrong. Mm-hmm. Because I believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, some things went down differently in my life.
Yes, yes.
Number one, because I believe in God, because I have faith in God, can pastor teach this thing?
Yes.
Because I trust the Lord, David says, watch this. I did not have to fight or fear my foes.
Yeah.
I said again, y'all get that. Because I got faith in God, I did not have to fight or fear my foes. Because I have faith, listen to the psalmist. It's how he begins to describe his life by saying, when my enemies, even the wicked, came against me to eat up my flesh, I had an army encamped against me. I had some real enemies in my life. The amazing thing about David's testimony is he does not tell us how he got those enemies. Because I have lived long enough to declare to you that you necessarily don't have to do nothing for folk to have issue with you. You just got to be who you are. Let me preach to somebody here this morning. All you got to do is let God bless you.
That's it.
Let God make you look good.
Yeah.
Let God put you on a pedestal. He will.
Yes.
Let the Lord shine his favor on you.
Yes. Yes.
Let the Lord support you when other folk think you would go down.
Yes.
And there will be folk who are your enemies and they don't even know your last name.
Right.
I don't know how I'm preaching to you, but I'm going to preach this thing. I guarantee somebody got an issue with you. Somebody don't like you. Somebody would not mind if your car was broken into the same time you got out of church.
My God.
Somebody would not mind if you shouted and your weed fell off.
My God.
I can't get y'all to laugh at that. They got issues with you and you have done nothing to them. Now, psychologists, let me tell you this, check this out now. Psychologists tell you when you got enemies, you have one or two responses that instinctively come to you. Here they go. Flight or fight?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Flight, running, or you gonna fight?
Yes.
I can either run or I can fight. I can either be worried or I can fight. I can choose to be fearful of those that are coming against me. I can lose sleep over it. My blood pressure can rise, or I can fight. I can be worried and anxious about what folk are saying or what folk are doing. I can run or I can fight. Let me pause right here and tell you that you are not so sanctified that you have forgotten how to fight.
Amen. Yes.
Hello.
Yes. Yes.
No, don't let my Bible and this nice suit I got on for convention fool you. I still got some old school behavior in me. What you talking about?
Amen.
Don't let the robes I wear on Communion Day or Second Sunday think I forgot how to get you told something. Y'all ain't trying to hear me.
Yes.
Y'all know how I was raised. Your size mean nothing. The way I was raised in Nassau, my uncles, I bet not get in the car and told me I ran from a fight. Matter of fact, they'd happy if I fought someone bigger. He said, because guess what? They can't say nothing if you lose the fight before the person is bigger. He said, you're going to look good just for fighting the person. He said, you better fight. He said, they're little, they should have sense not to fight you. If they're bigger, you're going to go over up a can. I can't say that word in here. I know you're not from having gun. I'm not the only one in here that don't have a gotten fight. Some of you have told somebody off yesterday. You know how to do unto others before they do unto you. Yes, you do.
Oh my God.
I know how to fight. David was a warrior.
Yes, he was.
Y'all think I'm not in the Bible still. If anybody knew how to fight, it was David.
Yes, he did.
Watch this. David says, my faith does some things to me.
Yes.
Y'all with me?
Yes. Go ahead.
Number one. My faith quiets my fears. My faith tells me God's got this. My faith reminds me that the Lord will never leave me nor forsake me. My faith tells me I was once young, but now I'm old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken. My faith lets me know that if I trust in the Lord will take care of me. My faith says, fret not thyself.
Oh,
evildoers, neither be thou envious over the workers of iniquity, because they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither away like the green herb. My faith tells me something.
Yeah.
My faith says, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord.
Yeah.
My faith will not only quiet my fears. I ain't done yet. Watch this.
Yeah.
Number two, my faith will restrain my flight.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
My faith will restrain my fight. Understand, faith does not just motivate me to do things. Real faith will restrain you from doing some things you could have done.
Yes, yes, right.
Are y'all getting this?
Yes, yes.
Go ahead.
My God.
There's somebody right now you know you have, I would have had it, I would have told him off if it had not been for my faith. Girl, I would have cussed you out had I not believed in God. I would have slapped you on general principle. But I believe in God. That my faith held me back from doing some things that I wanted to do to you. As a matter of fact, can I preach right here? There's somebody in your life, they should have been thankful you go to church and have some faith.
Amen.
Brother man, sister girl, if I did not know Jesus like I know him, you'd be in trouble. Because the old school would have came back up. You better be glad I got some faith in God. And my faith says the Lord will fight my battles.
Yes.
My faith says the Lord will take my enemies and turn them into my footstool.
Yes. Yes.
My faith says if I trust God, God will handle the situation. And can't nobody handle enemies like God can.
Yes.
Can I tell y'all what David says again?
Yeah.
Here's what the Lord will do. When you put your faith in him, it is not fight, it is not flight, it is just faith.
Yes.
You ain't got to fight, run, you ain't got to have faith, flight, you ain't got to get away, you're going to fight. You just put faith in it. If I put my faith in God, when my enemies come upon me, they will stumble. Why can't I get ready to teach y'all some really deep stuff here? Watch this. They will stumble and fall. Take a note, Reverend Loud. David says, if I trust God, God will cause my enemies to stumble and fall.
That's true.
Yeah.
Watch, y'all, don't miss this.
Yes.
I ran around the house and I got this. I need to let you know, I have always read that incorrectly. When you stumble and fail. Thank you for the Holy Ghost. I always thought that meant that when my enemies are coming on me, the Lord will put an obstacle in their way. That means that when they come on me, they're going to fall.
Because
you're going to put something in their way.
Uh-huh.
That ain't what it means. Rock, I had to go to the Hebrew. You got to change your language every now and then. Lord help me. So while they're coming, they fall. No, they don't fall. That's what I thought it meant.
Yeah.
I thank God for the Holy Ghost. Here we go. Watch it. The term stumble and fall work together in a biblical sense. It's the Hebrew. The term stumble does not mean to trip over an object. It literally means, in the Hebrew, ankles are broken. Ankles are broken and you fall prostrate in front of something. Because if they stumble over an obstacle and fall, they can get back up and come after me again. But God is so good that when they're coming after me, God can break some ankles and make them fall prostrate in front of me.
All right.
And they can never get up again. Therefore, they become my footstool.
Yeah.
Yes. Come on,
man. Praise the Lord. That's prayer. I'm just giving y'all a prayer word. You don't need to be messing with a child of God. Boy, I can read that all over again. He can break some apples, they fall prostrate, they become a footstool. Is there anybody here that knows the Lord has handled some of your enemies?
Oh,
the Lord has silenced some tongues.
Yes.
The Lord has laid some jokers out.
Yes.
And he took care of your enemies because I got faith. I don't have to fight or fear my foes.
Yes.
David says something else about faith. Not only will faith, that faith keep me from running and fighting, but because I have faith, watch this. Oh Lord, Sister Phil.
Yes, sir.
Number three, because I got faith, I can walk in and wait on His word.
Yeah. All right.
Y'all get that?
Yes.
I can walk in and wait on His word because I have faith in God. I can walk in and wait on His word. What did David say? He says, "Lord, teach me Your ways."
Teach me.
I know what I want to do, but teach me what You want me to do. I know how I would handle the situation, but I want to do things your way.
Yes.
Because here's some grown folk. The sign of maturing in faith, is obedience to God's word.
Yes.
Obedience is the fruit of faith.
Yes, it is.
You can't say you have faith in God and live life under your own rules.
There
you go. Are y'all hearing me?
Yes. Yes.
We got people in church. Hey, let's not even talk about words. Talk about church folk. You know what the Bible say. You showing up sometime the Bible says in school, and yet you still want to do what you want to do, and you think God's supposed to bless you.
Yeah, okay.
You're stuck on stupid.
All right.
I'm trying to get your attention here. What make you think? If you go to your job and you don't show up at your job on time, you don't come to work, your boss ain't gonna pay you. What make you think God is a Santa Claus? Sit on a cosmic planet somewhere, and he's like, he a bellhop, and when you ring a bell, he's supposed to jump off and come to you just because you call, and you ain't even know it. And other words, you're not even obeying him.
Yeah.
I know he's long suffering. He is long suffering.
Yeah.
But guess what? He also is a jealous God.
Yeah.
And he will do what he can to get you. You don't want to pray? God will teach you how to pray. You don't want to love nobody. You don't have to love nobody. You don't have to be nice. You don't have to be long-suffering. Guess what? God will have you needing the same person that you hate now.
Yes.
Everybody else will check out on you, and that's the right person you got to go back to. That's just how God wrote. I know His principles. That's what He worked in.
That's the way He worked.
He's the potter and you the clay. I'm saying you because I know I'm the clay. I'm submitted.
Yes.
I ain't trying to do nothing. I didn't sound like anything he tell me to do, but guess what? I don't like to endure some stuff he tell me to endure, but I know he the potter. I'm the clay. If you want to mash me down, you can mash me down. All I want to do is don't kick me off the wheel. I want to keep working on it.
Yes.
David says, hey, Sometimes something else about faith you need to know. Not only will the faith keep me from running and fighting, I said you need to walk in Winner's Word. He said, I know I want to handle some things in my own way. He said, I'm asking God to teach me His Word.
Yes.
You might believe in a God, but you don't put your trust in God until you do what the Lord has commanded you to do. Sorry, Pastor, don't shout to me about it, John. I gotta tell y'all. You say you believe in a God, but you ain't trust and believe in Him. Come on. You want to show me someone with faith? Show me someone who is obedient and committed to God's word. Show me someone who is praying for folk who despitefully use them.
Yes.
And I will show you someone who has got some real faith in God.
Yes.
Show me someone that is forgiving people that trespass to them. And I will show you someone who has real faith in God.
Yes.
Show me people who bring their tithe to the storehouse, like God said, and I will show you someone who has some real faith in God. Because
yes.
My faith is found in my walk in His Word.
Yes.
David said, watch this, not only do I know I have enough faith that I can walk in His Word, but Deacon Drayton says, number four, I have enough faith to wait on Him.
Yes.
I can wait on God to do what God said He was going to do. Look at how he ends that psalm. He ends the psalm by saying, wait on the Lord and be of good courage. And He will strengthen your heart. And just in case you did not get it in part A of verse 14, he says it again in part B of verse 14. Wait, I say again, on the Lord. Understood that. David understood that waiting on God is not always easy to do. Because we have the mindset that faith should expedite the results of our prayer. Y'all got that?
Yeah.
Oh, I got faith. I prayed the prayer. I said amen. Okay. Now, if God should be doing it already. We come to church next week. Oh, well, I prayed it last week. He didn't get it. Yeah, what's up with that? I don't think Pastor Keenan right there.
My God.
I heard
you,
Lord God. Because we have the mindset that faith should expedite results of our prayer. That when I have faith, as soon as I say amen, God should be working this thing out for me. As soon as I give it to the Lord, He should be making it work. But David understood that I trust God enough to give God some time.
Yes.
God does not have to do it today. I know He's going to do it.
Yes.
Here's what David says, literally. I believe that if God spoke it, I'm going to see it.
Yes.
I have so much faith in God that if He declared it, it's already on the way.
Yeah.
If God put it in print, it's going to show up in my life. I don't know how it's going to show up, but God declared it. He put it in the Bible, it's going to show up.
Yeah.
If God says it, I will see it. All I have to do is wait. You don't like waiting?
Oh my God.
I don't like waiting either, y'all. Oh, can I make this applicable to y'all?
Yes.
I'm a movie fan. I like going to the movies, real life. I like to go early because I like to see the sneak previews of what's coming.
Yes.
So you gotta go, but you can't go late. That's one of the best parts of going to the movies, the previews.
Right.
Y'all ain't feeling me.
Yes.
You get to see Deacon Drayton, what is coming up down the road.
Yes, what's coming.
Now you need to know when you go to the theater today, they are going to show you sneak previews before you see the movie, right?
Yes.
But anyone in the movie industry knows the sneak previews are not called sneak previews. If you can pass the teach this, watch this. They are called trailers. Y'all with me? You want to know want to know why they're called trailers? Because when sneak previews first debuted in the late 60s, they were not shown before the movie. They were shown at the end of the movie. They trailed the movie. So the preview of what was coming came after you endured the movie. Y'all help me. Now the industry moved them in the 70s because they recognized that people won't wait at the end of the movie to see the preview of what is on the way. And because we are impatient, trailers became sneak previews. Stay with me. But a few years ago, now us to go to the movies know about this stuff here. Marvel Comics, the awesome Marvel Comics, came up with a new way of giving you a preview. They started creating the superhero movies. Batman, Superman, Black Panther. And the word came out, don't you leave when the movie is over. Because if you sit through the credits, they will show you a trailer of the next sequence of the movie you just saw. I'm still in the book, y'all. Work the pastor. So Moses said, if you can just wait through the credit, we will give you a preview of what's coming that is connected to what you just been through. All you got to do is wait for the credits to roll. And you will get a preview of what is coming. Y'all been y'all seen it before? Oh man.
My God.
If you can wait through the credits. If you wait, he will show up.
Yes, he will. Gotta wait on.
I trust God so much. Since fear, I don't have to fear or fight my foes. I trust God so much I can walk in and wait on his word. Then finally David says, if you can just wait on God.
Yes.
Give him credit for his credits.
Yeah, credit for his credits.
Sit there, and he'll show you what's coming.
Yeah.
Marvin ain't stubborn. Marvin just doing something God been doing.
Yes.
But they got something, because guess what? People sit there through the credit. Them credits are sometimes 15 minutes long. I know what I'm saying. And guess what? I done sat through one of them. I don't remember which one it was. They had two sets of credit. Like, really? But they have you waiting with bated breath for them to make that next movie. And sometimes we wait until 2 years away. You still wait to watch it. If we can wait on them to make a movie for 2 years, why can't we wait on God just to do it for them? God said, I know how much you can bear. He ain't making us wait on the backside of the mountain for 40 years like he did Moses. We can't even wait till tomorrow. God said, I know you can't handle it, but he said, come on now, work with me. I'm trying. I'm seeing your patient work in faith. He said, I want to make you come out like pure gold.
Yes.
David said, okay, I got so much faith I can wait to God. Then finally, David says, I'm almost out of your way. He said, number five, I can pray and praise in the middle of my problems.
Yes.
I don't need it to be over. I can pray right now. David says, in the midst of all my strings of life being cut and my life hanging in the balance, he said in Psalms 27, one thing have I desired of the Lord, and that I will seek after, that I can see God's face, that I can dwell in God's temple, that I can talk to God and know that God is going to talk to me back.
Oh, yes.
I'm in the book. That I have enough faith to believe that no matter what my circumstances and what my situation and what the pain of my life, when I call on God, he will answer.
Yes, he will.
Yes, he will.
That he is a prayer-hearing and prayer-answering God.
Yes, he is.
I never waste time when I pray. When I pray, God is listening.
Yes, he is.
When I pray, the Lord is hearing me.
Yes, he is.
Even if I got myself in my mess.
Yes.
Even if I cause myself to be messed up, he's still going to listen to what I got to say.
Yes.
What a mighty God we serve.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Somebody here needs to hear that right now. I know y'all ready to go, but somebody needs to hear that. The first thing the devil tries to do to you is to guilt you to a place of believing you have no right to call on the name of God. And you think God should not talk, you should not talk to God. Look how you done messed up. I'll come by to tell you that the devil is a lie. The word of God says, I can come boldly. To the throne of God.
Yes.
And find his grace in time of need.
Yes.
When I mess my life up, when I'm as low as I low can get, when I've been as dirty can get, I can still fall on my knees, lift up my hands and say, Father, I stretch my hands to thee, no other help I know.
Yes. Thank you, Lord.
David says, that is all I want to do. Is keep on praying until God moves.
Yes. Amen.
Y'all hear me?
Uh-huh.
Don't quit praying, church.
Amen.
I remember a while back, My grandson wanted to pump up a basketball that had been gone flat. He found the pump, got the needle for it, checked it out. That little needle that you're pushing in the ball, and he began to pump it. I watched him, nothing happened. Ball was still flat. He checked the pump. I watched him check the pump. Looked at the needle, he's sticking the ball. Looked at me and said, stop, he started pumping again. He looked at me and said, hey, Grandpa, ain't nothing happening. I told him, keep pumping. He pumped again, ball didn't move. He kept pumping, Sooner than later, he saw the dents in the ball begin to pop out. The ball started to get larger. He said, Grandpa, it is working. I said, if you keep pumping, it always works. One pump may not get it right, but if you keep pumping, it will get there where it needs to. Some of you come to church this morning, you need to know. You listen to prayer to God, to pray to God, and nothing happened. You walk in and you say, Pastor, it's not working. I got some news from heaven for you. Keep on praying. Stay on your knees. Keep on talking to God. Watch how the more you pray, you will reach a point you will realize that this thing is working. I preach to myself. The more I pray, the more the Lord is turning it around. The more I pray, the more the Lord is filling my life. And you got to do this is keep on praying. David said, I will pray in the middle of this thing. And here's the shout. I will praise God. In verse number 6 of the chapter, y'all. It says, I will offer praises unto the Lord.
Yes.
Now that sounds like an easy place to say amen and tell someone you just should praise God, right? New Jerusalem. Here in New Jerusalem, Margo, we're a little bit better than that. We don't just get happy for nothing. You got to teach these people something for them to get happy. And it's rightly so. I'm going to get happy over hoop. No, give me some word. We teach ourselves into a shout here. Walter Berger, on his scholar of the Old Testament, says that the Psalms just don't speak individually, but they speak as an entire book. If you take a step back and look at the structure of the Psalter, of the Book of Psalms, the Book of Psalms is called the Psalter, you will find there's a theological message in the structure.
Yes.
Let Pastor teach it. Give me real quick, Sister. Not just the verse, but the structure. Look how the Psalter begins and how it ends. It begins with Psalms 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sitteth in the seat of scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. He meditates on God's word day and night, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. He shall bring forth his fruit in due season, and the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff that the wind blowing away.
Yes.
It starts with a command to be obedient.
Yes.
That is Psalms 1. Then you get down to Psalms 50. Let everything that have breath
praise the Lord.
Yes. Praise the Lord.
Praise.
So we begin with obedience. If you begin with obedience, you end up with some praise.
Yes. Yes.
That is just the structure of the Psalms. That's the way it is. Y'all got that?
Yes.
The Psalter can be divided into 5 sections.
Yes.
The date that mimic the 5 books of the laws of Moses. That show the journey of the children of Israel from creation all the way through promise. The Psalms has these groupings of the psalm, like the Hallelujah Psalm, that are sent to remind us when we go up, we ought to be praising God.
Yeah.
There are the structures that speak to say that something in the structure of the Psalms. I applied that structure to Psalms 27, Reverend Lyle.
Yeah.
Watch what I found out. I want you to take note of when David says, I will praise God.
Yeah.
David says, I will praise him in verse 6. Now, structurally speaking, Psalms 27 has 14 verses. Which means, David, you are not even halfway yet. You're talking about you are going to praise God and you have not got to halftime yet? David says it's easy to praise God in verse 14 when you know what the end is.
All right. Yes. All right.
It's easy to praise him when you are at verse 7, when you are halfway through. But it's hard to praise God when you are not halfway yet, and you don't know how it's going to turn out. And you don't know when the end is going to be. There are some folk in church who can give God a 14-verse praise.
Yes.
But you have made it through the end already.
Yes.
But I'm looking for some saints who are some verse 6 saints. That can declare, I'm not out of it yet. I don't know when it's going to be over, but in the middle of my stuff,
yes, yes.
I can bless the Lord right here, right now.
Yes.
I know I'm taking too long. I'm going to sit down on y'all. Oh, God. But I will bless God now. I will shout right now. I will give God glory now, because in the middle of it, God is still good, good, and worthy to be praised.
Yes.
You ought to look at somebody and say, I'm going to be praised God in verse 6.
Yes.
When there's no answer in sight.
Yes.
When you don't know when it's going to be over. David said, that's a good place to have enough faith to praise God. Because you have enough faith to believe that you will see the goodness of the God in the land of the living.
Yes.
So, if I had no faith, it would have all been different right now.
Yes.
I don't look like I look because I don't look what I've been through.
Yeah.
I don't look like, none of us look like what we've been through.
Right.
But because we got some faith in God, he said that I'm going to let you praise me and thank me in the land of the living.
Amen.
I'm not going to let your circumstances and situation kill you.
Amen.
I know you feel like you're going to die right now, but it ain't over till I say it's over.
Amen.
Don't you know your spiritual warfare is a mental fight? You can send atomic weapon bombs into the portals of hell where the devil has done all he can do to you, and you still saying, I will bless the Lord
at all times.
Yeah. His praise will continue to be in my mouth.
Yeah.
The devil just told his main demon, didn't I tell you get him laid off? We did lay him off, boss. He said, so why are you not just talking about bless the Lord? We can't understand it. See, like the more we do, the more they thank God.
Yeah.
And in the meantime, we got Jesus, our elder brother, sitting at the right hand of the Father,
yeah,
saying, Lord, we they have considered your servant. And look, they still blessing you.
Blessing you.
Lord, we don't have to keep with your law. They got this class.
Yes.
So guess what? You fasting, you praying, God will tell you like he told them. Say, Daniel, I heard you a long time ago. And I sent the angel to send your blessing rock. Even though you don't look like you can get a blessing, you better not give up on God. You better not throw in the towel. Because guess what? You are at the break when you're at your worst. Check out the circumstances, the situation. I know the pattern of my God, my sisters and brothers. When things really get crazy, I'm looking for the end. What God gonna do now? I don't like the pain factor. I don't like the principle that he take me through the fire to get me out of it. But guess what? I understand that he gives me some Novocaine while I'm in the fire. What's your Novocaine? He gives me the Holy Ghost that leads and guides me into all truth. And the Holy Ghost sedates me. While I'm going through hell and hour, the Holy Ghost sedates me and speaks to my inner man. It speaks to my inner man, Margo, and let me know. It don't look good, but guess what? I'm going to hang on to see what the end going to be, because I know it's going to be good. I'm done. Kept y'all too long. What I like this day, sometimes it seems it ain't one thing, it's another. See, like when you just get, every time you try to do good, Deacon Drake, evil's always present.
Oh,
he's trying to discourage you,
yes,
pull you down.
Yes.
But I want you to know one thing. To whom much is given, much is required.
Yes.
I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord. I know I'm supposed to fight. I know what I'm, guess what? But God tells me the battle is not yours.
Yes.
Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Stand to your feet.